Well, I mean, there's lots of points to the Book of Psalms. It's a massive, great book for one thing, with all kinds of different teachings inside it. But in the Korite Psalms, in particular, there's a sort of a focus, where it's let's look at Zion, let's look at that which is outside Zion, let's look at the relationship between light and shadow, between harmony and disturbance.
Sorry, Ian, you keep saying the Korite
Psalm,
so I don't understand this term. I've missed a section.
Okay, I've talked a bit about it, but the Korites are this priesthood, right? So the 87th Psalm is one of the core. There are a series of Psalms that belong. This is a Psalm of the sons of Korah.
Yeah.
The Korahites are an ancient kind of ancient is. Priesthood in Israel, from North Israel in particular, associated with the sanctuary of Shechem,
yes.
And whose particular quality is to work with unquiet spirits, to work with demonic entities, to enable harmony. So the symbolism they use for this is the symbolism of the holy mountain, holy city, holy temple, and holy of holies, and then those energies, which are there, so Babylon, Phistilia, Tyre, Cush, which are the clipotic energies that wish to destroy the holy mountain, and therefore destroy, if you like, the connection between the divine and the physical.
Yeah, and that body of work of Psalms, yeah, deal with those. That's the name, because they deal with,
yeah,
those images particularly.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I just haven't joined it all.
Okay, let me just find out where that
I've
is.
Got it now.
Yeah, no, I just find it where it is in the book, because I think I've written this in the book, so that people want to write, look it up.
Yeah.
Korite Psalms, that was it, 94. So, yeah. So if you look at page 94, the Korite Psalms are Psalms 42 to 49, 84 to,
yes,
85,
yeah,
87 to 88.
Lucky, thank you. Sorry about that.
And the Korites, the split is the Hermetics and the Korites.
No, that's much later on. This is really early. This is Bronze Age, right? So the split is way later on, right? When the end of the in the Roman period, Roman Christian period. This is a much, you know, the tradition's full of splits. So this is, but that was, you're right, that was quite an early split, right? Because one of the in the book of Deuteronomy, one of the things that happens to the Korite high priest is that one of the priesthood of the Deuteronomy priesthood make a judgment against him, and he's cast down into hell. So there's an ancient Israel political thing going on where they somehow, curiously, they preserve the Psalms and some of the traditions, while also kind of not really preserving the actual teachings that went along with them. Kind of curious. It might be that the Psalms were already so much part of the liturgy they couldn't get rid of them. So that's a very early split. Much later on, there is in the Christian era, when the Egyptian temples are emptied, part of the Egyptian priests move in the direction of becoming Christian and take their teachings into Christianity. Another part of the tradition becomes the writers of the Hermetica, which go off to Haran, and then later all that stuff comes back into the Hermetic writings are then attributed to a sage called Hermes Trismegistus, Hermes, who is the thrice great, who actually is a version of Tahuti, who is the ancient god of priesthood and magic in Egypt. And it's those writings that come back into the Renaissance.
So is Hermes Trismegistus a mythical figure? Or
mythical figure. Yeah, no, mythical figure, right? So basically what happens is they attribute there's this whole thing of in that ancient world. You write mystical writings, you attribute them back to some mythical figure, some mythical priest. So they use him as the figure. The people who do this are likely come out of a place called Hermopolis, which is the sanctuary of the god Thoth, and where the scribes are trained. So they've converted the ancient Egyptian ibis god figure of Thoth into this figure called Hermes the Thrismegistus. And They called him the Hermes of the Three Masteries, because he's in the Neoplatonic vision of the universe, where you've got the overworld, you've got the middle world, and you've got the underworld. So he has mastery over all three worlds, and his writings will enable you, if you follow these writings, to find the same kind of mastery. And that's one of the threads, really, that comes into the development of the Kabbalah in the Renaissance. And so that was that.
So isn't this connected to alchemy?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And totally. The Kybalion.
God, we're getting all over the place now. Well, the Kybalion was written by somebody called William Walter Atkinson in 1920, drawing on, so he uses the figure of Hermes and the Hermetic tradition. Now, he has written that as if it's an ancient Hermetic writing. It's not. He drew on the Hermetic writings, and he wrote a version of it that's compatible with something called New Thought, which was an American spiritual tradition very active at that time. Now, that's taken legs of its own, so now people think the Kybalion is some ancient mystical kind of book. It's not a bad book, actually. It's quite a nice little book about the power of thought and how do you have to be careful. But no, it's a nice book. I don't just have no problem with the Kybalion, apart from the fact that people think it's a very ancient book and it really isn't.
But there's a tradition of that anyway, isn't there?
There's a huge tradition of that, Duncan. It happens all over the place. So anyway, where was I? I've gone a little. No, it's all right. That's fine. Let me just come back to what I was. Yes, Psalms, all of that. Okay. Okay. So let's just pause for a moment.